Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hi folks, you're very welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Donoghue. So this is the Irish Country Living Podcast Halloween edition. I'm sure you're all aware Halloween is just around the corner, and Halloween is a time that we associate great crack and great divilment with. But I suppose along with that comes more health and safety warnings and the potential for maybe accidents. So this week in the podcast, we're just going to be giving some tips on how to stay safe that this Halloween, both for ourselves and our four-legged friends. So first up is Irish Country Living's health correspondent, Margaret Hawkins. In this week's Irish Country Living, Margaret has a 101 on how to stay safe this Halloween, particularly for the kids who will be out trick-or-treating. It's very valuable information, so she's going to share that with us now. I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast today by Irish Country Living's health correspondent, Margaret Hawkins. Margaret, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Margaret, Halloween is just around the corner, coming up now in a couple of days, and a very exciting and a very fun time for families, but also, I suppose, every year we're reminded of different health risks associated with Halloween, and you've been doing some research into them. Would you mind just giving us a little overview about what you learned while you were doing your research for this piece that's in this week's Irish Country Living?
Well, it's an exciting time of year, and it's one that lots and lots of people enjoy. I know that when I was a child, I think I used to start planning at the end of August what costumes and so on I'd wear. But it is a season where you need a little bit of, I suppose, to be a little bit careful and to think about all the possible little accidents that could happen. So I think supervision, you know, by an adult is key, even if it's at a distance, to keep an eye on everybody. But the preparation is important just in relation to the costumes and so on. So I can tell you just what I found out about that. There are lots and lots of costumes. Most people don't have to make their own anymore, but they're out there in the shops and everything. So it's really important just to watch out for the CE label. And I had a look through shops there myself last week, and most of them do have that. So that's like a safety standard, and it's important. But just have a little peek to see that they're there. And the things to think about, it, just the basic things, are that the costume fits your child properly. Could be too long, and apparently trips and falls are massive. They're the reasons why people end up in A&E at Halloween, and something that could be easily avoided, a few stitches to keep it up out of the way, would be good, especially if they're wearing high shoes and things that mightn't be so good as well. Just try to be sensible in those things. The other thing is that in relation to masks, now we all love wearing the masks and so on, but they can unfortunately limit your peripheral vision. And if you're a child out on the street, maybe in an estate or you're wherever you are, you know that you, when you're crossing a road, anything like that, you absolutely need to be able to have to see out of the side of your eye, basically. So it can also restrict hearing if it's a big mask. And so sight and hearing, you know, just be mindful of that. if a child has a mask like that, that there's somebody with them holding their hand, or an older child who can see better, that that they bear all those things in mind just to stay safe. The other thing, the makeup. Makeup is huge. I think we had to raid mammy's bags when we were children. But nowadays, you know, you can buy all this costume makeup. Again, look for the CE mark. You know, you could have a child who's allergic to such things. And I suppose it's not a good idea to mix them or to be sharing them too much, particularly at this COVID time. You know, there can be, just be mindful of hands and sanitizing and so on, and maybe keeping your own child's makeup for themselves. And when the big getting ready session is going on at 4:45 or just as darkness falls in Halloween. So those are important. The other thing is there are lots of accessories. You know, we've our witches' brooms and swords and all sorts of...
anything you can imagine these days, they'll have them.
Absolutely. And they look great and they're so dramatic, but they can be quite sharp. And just supposed to tell children, and parents always do, just be careful with that, or to maybe blunt the edges if there are sharp points on them, because that again is something that brings children and parents, you know, under stress into emergency departments at Halloween. So to avoid that if you can. So the other thing that came up with a lot of the organisations, the HSC and the Irish Red Cross, was the choking risks. Really, if children are out on their own and they're getting all these presents of at the door, they're going trick-or-treating and they're getting hard sweets and things like popcorn and so on, they can actually be choking risks for small children. And then when you're laughing and skitting and messing and all those things, it sort of adds to it. So maybe if they could be told to bring them all home, don't open anything until you get home, so that you can just be able to supervise them when they're actually eating all the goodies. So,
and it might be something for people giving out the sweets to be mindful of as well, you know, to have things that are suitable.
That's true. The softer things, and sometimes chocolate is better option than the hard boiled sweets and so on. But anyway, it's just something to be very, very mindful of. And the other things, if you're at home getting ready and you're blowing up balloons, just remember they're not good for kids to be doing either. The adults would need to do that. And I suppose then you get into the more dangerous bits, the sparklers. They can be very dangerous because they don't actually go out even when you put water on them. And they can get very, very hot. And they may not be legal either, which is... But Jeff, I know everybody loves the drama, but you have to think safety as well. So that's really important. The other thing is the pumpkin with the eyes carved out. We used to have turnips, the biggest ones in the field we could find, and carve them out. But to use battery operated candles, which are deadly. They're safe. They're safety features. They're so much better than the lighting candles, and they do just the job. So I think they're wonderful. And
so no tea lights in the pumpkins?
No, I'd stay away from them. It's just because you can get them so easily and everything, you could have them again then for another occasion, Christmas or whatever. But they're definitely something to go for. So that's basically it. When you're out and about, be seen. Make sure you're seeing fluorescent somethings, an adult with you. Be careful crossing the street because of the masks. And of course, one of the bits of advice from the Irish Red Cross was to stay away from dogs because they could be very terrified by the fireworks. I know we have a dog called Jess and she's terrified of thunder. Fireworks would finish her off altogether. But they mightn't be acting as well as they normally would if they're terrified, frightened. So stay away from dogs if, you know, children are out on the street. So the bonfires are a no-no as far as An Gabhar the Síos Cónaithe are concerned. They have a great video up there just on their website about the dangers of fireworks and so on. So those would be things to bear in mind. There was one other one that actually struck me as interesting was the contact lenses. You know these contact lenses that can change the...
Yeah. I wear prescription contacts myself, and I even know that even with them and their high quality, there could be dangers associated with them.
You condition your eye
and all the rest of it.
I do sometimes too, but the cosmetic ones. And if you're in a house where nobody has ever worn contact lenses and knows the importance of sterilizing them and everything, you could end up, you know, doing your eyes damage, getting an infection. And that's another thing from just talking to, I think it was Crumlin Hospital, that brings children with infections maybe down the line a bit, but because of this using the contact lenses and not being sterilized properly or not knowing how to put them in properly or take them out, you could be scratching your eye as well. So there are a lot of little things, yeah. But the main thing is to have fun, and if you remember all those things, you know, it's fun is guaranteed, and it's a wonderful time. I have very happy memories of it. As I said, we started at the end of August and we sang for our supper at each door out on country roads in rain, hail and God knows what. But it was such an enjoyable time. So that's what I'd say. Enjoy, but think safety.
And it's, as you said there, this isn't to take away from fun or anything like that, but just a few little reminders every year can be so helpful. Even I think, like you said, with the contact lenses there, I'd be so used to them. I wouldn't even think in another house, first of all, you'd have to think of infection, if you know what I mean. And other as well, if you weren't used to getting them in and out, it could be very scary for a small child if the contact lenses in and they couldn't pop them back out again. It can be very tricky. It's a very tricky thing to do.
It is absolutely. I know you need training to do it, actually, just to do it right. And even then it can be difficult. So great care. I don't think they're legal either. And the Association of Optometrists, there's a big word, they don't agree with them at all and be very wary. And this each year they send out just warnings about them. So it's really important to steer clear of them. I think we can do with a bit of eye makeup and we'll be grand, you know, so it's good. The other little thing is the dentists are always aware of the sweet treats and the impact on people's teeth. And they mention things like to drink lots of water, and the chocolate is a better option for reasons of your teeth than hard-boiled sweets that you're chewing and chewing and chewing all day. So it's, you know, eat your stuff, wash your teeth, drink lots of water to flush it all out, and that'll help. I know that Halloween this year is on Sunday night, which is means there's school on Monday morning. It's not going to be the best. Yeah.
There could be sick tummies. There might be a few sleepy heads.
There could, after, if there are too many sweets consumed and so on. But hopefully they'll all have had a happy time and a fun time this Halloween. I know it's a bit strange with COVID, but if you follow the restrictions, think safety and enjoy yourself at the same time.
Well, Margaret, thank you very much for giving us all that information, and that full piece is in Irish Country Living this week. Some sound advice there from Margaret Hawkins. Next up, we're going to be discussing our pets. Gillian Bird, Head of Education and Media at DSPCA, has some useful tips on keeping your pets safe this Halloween. Just to note, when Gillian begins to speak, the sound breaks slightly. That is a special spooky Halloween effect. Joking, not joking. Gillian, thank you very much for joining me.
No problem. Delighted to be here.
Gillian, I suppose it's often talked about at this time of year that there are many dangers posed to pets around Halloween. So what advice has the DSPCA for pet owners this Halloween?
Well, I suppose this Halloween is quite unusual. So what it is, it's a situation where a lot of new pet owners who got their animals sort of during the COVID time, this is actually officially their first Halloween, because last year there wouldn't have been much going on. There wasn't much in the way of fireworks or bangers. There wasn't the trick-or-treaters or the bonfires. So we just want to remind people that it is technically their pet's first Halloween this year, not their second. So there's a couple of precautions that we would suggest people do. So the first one would be to make sure that your pet is microchipped. This goes for existing pet owners and also the new pet owners. Every dog in Ireland, once it leaves its mum, has to be microchipped. And it's just a really important thing to get people to check. So if you did buy a dog in the last 18 months, go and check whether its microchip number is registered. And it's a really simple thing to do. You hopefully have the dog's microchip number already. It should be on the vaccination card. It's a 15-digit number. And if you don't have it, you can pop down to any vet, including your own local vet, and they will scan the dog free of charge for you and give you the microchip number. You then take that microchip number and you go onto a website called europetnet.com. And on that website, what you do is it'll tell you whether your pet is registered on one of the European databases. And if it is, which database it's registered to, and it'll give you the contact details of that database. You can then get onto those people and find out whether the dog is registered to yourself. And the reason we're pushing people to do that this year is because we know year after year we get in injured animals over Halloween and the rest of the year. And what happens is they're microchipped, we go to check the microchip number and we discover it's still registered to the breeder. And that's a problem because then we cannot easily contact the owners to let them know we have their pet.
I actually read about this recently, Gillian, and it is quite an issue. People are saying that they have the dogs are microchipped, but it's not to the correct owner. So they, sometimes they can't be found and all the rest, which is very unfortunate.
It is, absolutely. And it's such a simple thing. And for, you know, if to make it easy, it's a bit like when you buy a secondhand car, the deeds, the details of the car ownership has to change legally. And so it does for dogs as well. And it's all well and good people saying, oh, it's brilliant, my dog is microchipped. But a lot of people don't think to keep those details up to date. So, for example, if you change your mobile phone or you move house or the ownership of the dog changes, that all has to be changed on the database where the data is stored for your dog's microchip. And a lot of people will actually find when they go onto europetnet.com that their pet's microchipped is not even registered on it. And that is really the telltale sign. A microchip is only as good as the data that's stored on the database. So it's a really important thing to make sure people get their pets checked out for their microchips.
I suppose now that we have this technology, it's really important. I suppose that we're utilising it to its full. Maybe if we were having this conversation 10 or 15 years ago, it would have been more about, I suppose, you know, all the precautions of having to keep your pet safe. And, you know, if they had ran away or something like that or gotten hurt, you wouldn't have been able to find them. So it's great to be able to utilise this technology.
Absolutely. And actually, it's been going on for a long time. We've been microchipping animals for over 20 years in the DSPCA.
Oh, wow. So I was really underestimating there.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's now the law that your dog must be microchipped. But absolutely. And the same with cats. Make sure your cats are microchipped. Obviously, dogs by law still have to wear a collar and a tag that gives the contact owners of the contact owners details. And it's really important as well that they wear their collars. And, you know, so many times we get phone calls from people when they're trying to find their dog and they say, oh, I just took his collar off to give him a bath, or he didn't like wearing his collar in the house, I took it off. And of course, this time of the year, it's so important they wear their collars and tags because it's so easy for them to escape running out the front door of the house if they get a fright, or if you put them out in the back garden so they can go for their wee. And all of a sudden you realize the back gate has blown open in the high winds. That's when you must have the collar on the dog, because it means that anybody who finds the dog can just look at the tag on the collar, ring your phone number and say, I have your dog. And you don't have to wait for your dog to be brought to the vet or a rescue center to be scanned for its microchip. So absolutely, it's visual identification is also really, really important on top of the microchip.
And outside of all that, Gillian, do you have any other advice for pet owners this Halloween? Are you advising them to keep dogs and cats inside, or what would be your advice around that?
Yeah, it's the usual stuff of keeping your pets safe inside, and they have to be kept safe indoors, not just let run around the house. Ideally, what you want to do is you want to lock them into a room in the house that's not going to get used much, especially on Halloween night. You want to give them plenty of food and water, a nice warm bed, close the windows, pull the curtains, put some music or radio or something on for them and keep them safe. Because what happens every year there again is the dogs are kept in the house, kept safe, but somebody opens the front door at the same time as the kitchen door gets opened, outruns the dog or cat, and then they escape, unfortunately, out the front door because it's usually the same time as a firework will go off. So it's just important that you keep them safe. Obviously, we got to keep all the Halloween candies away from the dogs and the cats. Cats have a very sweet tooth as well. And they will eat people's sweets and their divils for things like white chocolates. And there again, it can make them very sick, but they can also, like the dogs, end up eating things like the wrappers on sweets, the sticks from lollipops and all that sort of stuff. So important there again to keep the food away from the dogs, keep it up high, keep it safe, make sure any sweets that spill on the floor get picked up.
And that's actually something I wouldn't have even thought of myself, would have been all the food and maybe the, like you said, the wrappers and the sticks and the things that are coming with them. So they'll have to be vigilant about this time of year.
There is, absolutely. And it's just important that we keep them safe, absolutely. And the other thing to remember is if you do have something like a rabbit that's outside in a hutch, ideally you want to bring the rabbit in because the fireworks can make an awful lot of noises as well and can scare them. And if you can bring the rabbit inside for the night or for the couple of nights around Halloween, that's fantastic. If you can't, make sure the rabbit has got some extra bedding in there, extra straw or hay or whatever the bedding you're using is. And maybe if you have an old bit of carpet or a thick rug, put it over the rabbit hutch just to dull down the noise and keep the animal a little bit safer and more secure, because they can get huge frights at this time of the year.
Of course. I would nearly get a fright with the fireworks myself sometimes. I remind the animals.
Absolutely, exactly. And just for, as well, for any of the listeners out there who are maybe going out and collecting wood for the bonfires, a big plea from our heart is please make sure you don't take wood from the hedgerows, because we all know you can be walking along and you can see a lovely pallet or a bit of wood in a hedge. But what you don't realise half the time is, especially if people are collecting wood at night, that piece of wood or that pallet might actually be blocking up a hole that animals have used to get out of those fields. So it's really important that you leave the wood you find in the hedges alone. Make sure it's left there, because it could be stopping a sheep or a horse or a cow or something getting out through that hole and getting onto the road and causing some serious issues.
Because that's definitely food for thought as well, Gillian. Because again, another point I probably wouldn't have considered myself, you know, so it's important, I suppose, just to leave things alone and, you know, look after the pets this time of year.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's keeping everything safe. And I mean, there's so much more information out there. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover it all, but it's about keeping us humans safe and it's about keeping our pets safe. And in some ways, it's probably a little bit luckier that all the kids are going back to school on the Monday. They won't have much of a Halloween night. There'll be a lot of sick tummies, I'd say, on the Monday morning. But it's important to, absolutely, because you see, some of the hazards that we often come across as well after Halloween is all the fireworks and the bits of bonfire that are left burning on the greens. And people who are out walking their dogs, it's always a good idea to stay well away from where there may be broken glass, burnt bits of wood. Often the bits of wood they burn on bonfires have nails sticking out of them. So just making sure if you are around any bonfire areas that you keep your dogs on a lead, you keep them safe, and you keep an eye out for where they're walking, because you don't want burnt paws or nails stuck in their feet or bits of fireworks burning them as well.
And Gillian, just yourselves there in the DSPCA, even though obviously a lot of this information, you know, is reiterated year after year, would you still see pets coming in suffering with these issues, say?
We do. We see a lot of badly injured stray animals at this time of the year. And it's usually because they've got frightened and they've run off, and it's trying to find their owners and make sure that they get back to their owners and that the owners know that we have the animals and can help out with the payment of any treatment that's needed for them. But absolutely. And even like we're getting calls at the moment because we're finding things like budgies around the place. And I think some of that is because the weather is very mild. People are letting their budgies fly around their houses, forgetting they've left the windows open, and the poor little budgies don't survive very long when they're out and about. So there again, important that we try and remember all animals are looked after, and think twice before you open the budgie cage or you let the dog out into the garden to make sure the side gate is shut properly.
Well, Gillian, thank you very much for all of that very useful information.
No problem. Thanks very much, and everybody have a great, safe Halloween.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.